Thank you, Lord. We just praise you and we glorify you, Father, for the work that you're doing. Getting us ready, Lord, because this thing is fixing to bust wide open, it looks like. And we thank you, Father, for wonderful weather that we're getting. That's hot one day, cool the next. And we just praise you, Father, for taking that weather modification out of their hands and putting it back in yours. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state and all the players that goes with it in the church and in the government in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for protecting all of your elect out there. Lord, placing it in their hearts that when the time comes, they'll be able to rely on you for everything. And that's exactly what you want. And I thank you, Father, for placing it in their hearts to believe, because you've already given them the faith to do it. Just need to get in the Word and understand what they can do. We thank you, Lord, that it's going to be an awesome time for your elect out there during this time ahead. We praise you, Father, for your holiness. We thank you, Lord, for your leading tonight. And we praise you for all that you're going to accomplish in this fellowship tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of Jesus right now, I come against all witchcraft curses that comes against anyone in this fellowship. In the name of Jesus, I command the spirits of infirmity to go and all the symptoms to leave in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for your complete healing in this fellowship tonight. In Jesus' name, I command you, devil, you evil one from hell, you leave this fellowship right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for your purification through our bodies, Father, right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that it is done, because we have faith, we have an open heaven. And I thank you, Lord, that it is done. Even as we speak, they're leaving. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and placing peace in our heart, Lord, joy in our heart. And thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. I command all discomfort to leave this fellowship right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for your overcoming power against the enemy in the name of Jesus. I command complete healing in Julie. I command complete healing in Benita. I command complete healing in Morgan. I command complete healing in Maryland. I command complete healing in anyone else that needs it, and receive it right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that it is done right now in Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your healing power right now flowing through this fellowship. Amen. Everybody believe that? Glory to God, it is done. Praise God forevermore. Hey, Rion.
Good day, everyone.
Okay, has anybody else got a prayer request? Hallelujah, that's right. Yeah, Geneva.
Can you hear me? Okay, all right.
Yes.
All right, I know I ask that every time. Okay. this is actually a praise. So I want to thank the Lord, because we all prayed probably about a month ago that I would get my security deposit back on that house that the landlord was playing some weird business there. Well, anyways, praise the Lord, we got it back. And
praise God.
Yeah, so that's a big deal, because we were pretty nervous about it, because it was just kind of fishy the whole way throughout. But Morgan kept saying, well, the Lord's already going to give it back to us. So why are we worrying about it? And we just held true to it and held true to what we prayed. And then we got a check in the mail. So praise the Lord. No questions asked.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Go ahead, Nick.
I got a praise. I actually got to go back to work today for the first time.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Did you work hard? That's what I want to know. Did you work hard?
Yes, I did.
Okay, buddy. Praise God. All right. Praise God. That's a good testimony. Amen. All right. Anyone else got a praise report or prayer request? Yeah, Daniel.
Hi, Michael. Yeah, I've just got a prayer request for my dad, Dane. He's at 3:30 the last two mornings of a morning. He's got up and tried to put wood on the fire, and both times his back's just, and now his back's really, really sore. Like something's going on, but it's happened at 3:30 in the morning, so I'm feeling it might be witchcraft or something anyway. But yeah, I'll just a prayer request for.
Okay. All right, what's his name?
Dane.
Spell that.
D-A-N-E.
Okay, Dane. All right. Lord, we lift up Dane to you. Father, we thank you for your son who went to the cross for us. And you said that Jesus told us that anything that we pray in his name, we shall have it. In the name of Jesus, I command this back to light up with the word of God and be healed. I command the pain to leave Dane right now. In the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for a complete recovery this time, right now, in Jesus' name. And I command that back to line up, be straightened, the pain to go and leave his back now, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for a complete healing in the name of Jesus. Father, I just ask that you place it in Dane's heart to step out in faith and go for it because he's healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. It's done. Y'all believe that? Dane's healed? Yeah, he's healed. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah.
Thank
you. Praise God. Okay, Rama said that my mom's back has also been getting bad the last couple of days, and we will stand in the gap for them. Daniel, amen. What's her name? Rama, what's your mom's name? Amanda, okay. Praise God. Lord, we lift up Amanda to you. She's not under the curse. We command that back pain to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. You don't have any other option. You leave her body right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that her back is completely healed, delivered, and set free. And we come against all the witchcraft curses spoken against this fellowship and anyone in our families in the name of Jesus. I command you to cease your operation now. In fact, we bind you up for doing it evermore in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for a complete healing in Amanda and Dane in Jesus and anybody else that needs it. Praise God forevermore. We thank you, Lord. It is done. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Okay, hallelujah. It is done. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? Amanda, you be healed. Dane, you be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's lift up Terry's son, Jared, tested positive for COVID. Well, we know those tests aren't any good anyway, so in the name of Jesus, we command that that spirit of infirmity off of Jared right now. You go from him in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you leave his body, take all the symptoms with you. And I thank you, Father, that Jared is completely healed in Jesus' name. Any kind of symptoms of colds or anything, you go from him right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that he is healed. He's got a great testimony for you, Father. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, that this spirit of infirmity is off of it. It is done in Jesus' name. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We praise you, Father, for all the healing that are being done right now in Jesus' name. Oh, man, I thank you, Father, for your purifying glory going through their bodies right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Praise God. Oh, man, I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Glory to God, glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Lana.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to share a quick testimony. So last night, the boys and I went for a short bike ride. And during the ride, little Theo kept telling me that he lost his little toy fish or something along those lines. And I had forgotten that he had one. And so I kind of was like, I don't know what you're talking about, honey. Let's keep riding. Anyways, we get home and I realize he had taken his new little toy with him and it comes apart to pieces and he had lost a couple of those pieces. So I said, I'd go back outside and take a look. So I found the colorful pieces, but the one missing piece was black and the road is asphalt. So that's black too. And I thought to myself, well, I'll take a quick ride on our path and see what I can do. And as I'm riding along, I am struggling to stare hard enough at the pavement to figure out if I see anything that looks remotely like a black piece of a plastic. And I run into some of my friends and I let them know that I'm looking for this little itty bitty piece. And they're like, man, we'll look. But Theo was all over the walking path and he was all over the grass. Like, oh man, what did I get myself into? And I thought to myself, well, this thing's easily replaceable. It's a little surprise gift that comes with a candy. And then I thought to myself, no, Lord, give me the faith to stand firm for what I prayed for earlier. And I had asked the Lord to help me find it. And I asked him to put it in a place in such a way that I would spot it. And I thought, no substitutes, no nothing. I said, yeah. Lord, give me the faith to stand firm on this. I'm going to find this black piece on the black asphalt. Within seconds, I spot a piece of plastic on the ground. Now it's this tiny little toy piece. And I haul it home and little Theo gets to put his toy together. And I thought, Lord, thank you for that exercise. I am convinced more than ever. My muscle faith or muscles of faith are just getting bigger by the day.
Amen. You're looking like Popeye, Lana.
Oh, yeah.
Praise God. That's awesome. I bet little Theo was excited, wasn't he?
He was very excited. And the next day he was like, Mom, it's gone again. And I said, you're going to have to get yourself in your room. Mama's not doing this again.
Oh, boy. Well, that's their job, you know. That's little boy's job, loose stuff. All right. Next. Anybody else need prayer? Yeah, Rian.
Oh, I just wanted to quickly add to that, Lana. That's so such a cool testimony. You know, recently, bless my dad, he told me over the phone a while ago, he said, God doesn't care about the little things. He's too busy, you know, dealing with all the big things in the world that's going on. But, you know, hearing testimonies like that, it's just, he is not too big and too busy to be intimately involved with each one of us. And he that's how important faith is to him. It's just so encouraging. And we've heard that 1,000 times, right? These little testimonies like that, but they're not. They, for me, those are not little things. For me, that's huge. That's big. That's awesome. Thanks, Lana, for sharing that.
Amen. And it's also a good reminder that when our kids cry out for the little things, that it doesn't hurt to stop right away and give them our attention. Because I had no idea what he was talking about until later. And I was like, man, I wish I had stopped at the beginning of the trip and taken care of it for him right away. But the Lord used it for my good and for Fio's joy. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, he loves to do the little things for us because it leads to the big things. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, anyone else? Well, anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? Because I've been busy all day. Yeah, Patrick, why did I not know that you was going to raise your hand?
It just kind of happens that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Actually, I got a testimony. I was waiting to try to put my thoughts together, but I'm just going to have to trust the Lord to convey it. So thank you, Father, for your blessing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you've given to guide us into all truth and to convey your word to others and to convey and to enlighten our heart in your life and in your goodness, not only to us, but to others. And Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be part of that plan. Thank you for drawing us to you, putting that desire within our heart to seek you. Lord, it's incredible in the world today that it just doesn't appear to be a lot of people desiring to know God, at least that we have seen. But we thank you that you are raising up the environment of lack and of need and threat and whatever else that is in there that you need in order to stir people's hearts and to start to bring people into an awareness and a desire to know a salvation that only you can provide. So we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your love for us in Jesus' name. Actually, that is kind of what I wanted to, as part of my testimony. I'd like to say that the Lord has set me free in some areas, and specifically in some fear that I had. And this is kind of based upon something that the Lord showed me last Tuesday, or maybe it was longer than that. And I woke up in the morning and I had this progression of thought that the Lord gave me. And it just seemed to clarify a certain just certain things that that I needed to hear, and that I think some of my family needed to hear. And so I actually put it on the signal, and then I had a time of prayer for that. But and that was kind of one sequence of events that led to another, that led to another, and it's just the Lord is really good. That's all I can say. He's weeding the things out in my life. And again, one of these things is fear. I got to thinking today as I was and it was actually part of my prayer just now, but I got to thinking about how sometimes it is hard for people to have time to really contemplate the things of God. Even when one is unsaved, whether or not God even exists. And it's like we get into a cycle of life of, getting up in the morning, eating, going to work or going to our task during the day and eating lunch and coming home at night after the end of everything and enjoying the evening and eating and then going to bed and then waking up the next day and doing it all over again, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year, and just repeat that process all the way through life for 60, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it would be. And there's a certain amount of time that it just seems like people, they get in the routine of life and they don't really have time to pause and think about the deeper things that really mean something, that are really valuable in our life. And it seems like the only time that people do get a chance to do that is when they experience something in their life that rattles that routine or shakes that thing to the foundations. A tragedy or a trauma or something like this. And it causes people to stop or especially a death in the family. Because when that happens, it shocks your reality so much that you're stopping and you're having a time of pause. Your life is kind of on pause and you're able to contemplate those things that are really important, like relationships with people, whether you loving people, helping people, whether or not you're going to be a service to others, and the whole lot of things that you really just never think about when you're in that routine of life. And so the thing is the Lord in the last few, and I know that this is really the purpose of what we are getting ready to go into. It's going to put a really heavy environment around us that's going to create a pause in people's lives in order to address and think about the threats that they're experiencing or the fear that they're experiencing or whatever that would be. And it's going to put us in a place where we don't have the resources in ourselves in order to satisfy those conditions. And I think this is all purposeful, obviously by the Lord to bring us into this situation of need where people have that time to pause and think and reflect and look to God. So it's kind of on that foundation that I see it's very clear that God uses threat or fear or a lack of something or whatever in order to get people's attention so that they can consider and pursue those things. So I have been struggling and I've been praying for my family to and it, it's it's really more of, out of, I'm going to say, fear, that it was fear that let's just say that they're not preparing themselves for the time to come. They're not preparing themselves to be resting in faith and trusting God to supply what they need through the process. And it's brought me into a certain amount of fear and anxiety and how to address and this and that and whatever. And I've known, realized that I have taken whether the Lord has led me into it or exactly how, but I've ended up taking a bit of a passive stance in my family. And I think I'd have to say is, maybe it's because there's certain things that I believe and I say and whatever that are maybe not as easily acceptable, accepted or understood or whatever you would, however you'd want to say it. And instead of pursuing and addressing those situations, I've just taken a passive stance and kind of let things go the way they go. The Lord has been changing my mind and showing me as of late the need to take responsibility and to be ready to speak out, etc. So in taking that those steps, I have failed miserably every time. And because of that, I know that, the last 6 months, I'm probably have been asking for prayer for to eliminate fear and boldness and this and that for quite a while. So it's kind of a pattern with me. Anyway, last Tuesday morning, the Lord gave me that progression of thought. And I wish I could remember where it was at, or I'd kind of like to read it. Sorry about that. I should have pulled this up. pardon me. Figures now I can't find it. Maybe somebody could tell me when was last Tuesday. Well,
it was the 12th, Pat.
12th, thank you. I didn't go back far enough. I didn't do it. All right, I'll wing it. Well, I'll just let it go. It's in my signal. Message and prayer. Anyway, it became very clear to me in that process that the Lord wanted me to speak that or to present that to my family. And so what the interesting thing about it is that when I prayed about that and I asked the Lord to, it became that something broke in me when I saw that. Just a minute, I'm trying to get my thoughts together here. he took me to a scripture. I think it was in Luke 12:51, and it had to do with the that he came not to bring peace on earth, but division, and that division would most likely be in our family, mother against father and daughter against brother, etc. And it went through the litany of divisions there. And the thought was that that he that loves family basically more than me is not worthy of me, type of thing. And so I could see that there was the Lord was wanting me to speak out, to address the thing, or at least speak into the situation. And I was struggling over it. And when I asked for prayer, Claire and Rion sent a prayer to me, a dream that she had just had, and it was specifically addressed to my particular situation. And when she sent it over, it's pretty amazing, the dream as I read through it and everything. But when she sent that to me, the thing that stood out, the name of this dream that she had, is Dream of My Family Member's Birthday. And the dream is about that process, and at the end of the process there's a birthday happening. And a very encouraging dream. But when she sent that to me, the thing that hit me, Michael, are you able to share? Let me share my screen for a second.
Yeah, hang on just a second. Let's see. Okay, go ahead.
That's not working.
Just click the audio thing. The other thing, for whatever reason, that hadn't been working.
Click the audio thing?
Yeah.
Down at the bottom where it says share screen?
Oh, no. You got to share the screen. And as you share it, when you share the screen, it gives you an option down at the below, at the bottom there with two. One is audio and the other one is optimal viewing or something like that.
Let's see if that does it. Oh boy. Nah, it's getting me into a whole bunch of whatever. I probably should have tried doing it beforehand. Sorry about that. It's not working.
When you share the screen, you hit share screen, and then you have to tap on what you want to share, and then down at the bottom there's two little circles with some one says audio and the other one says optimum video or something like that.
Let's see what this does. No, it says opens up system preferences.
No, his share, down at the bottom there's a green share screen. You see that?
Yep, got it.
Click on the share screen, not the little button on the side.
Got it.
Okay.
So what it
now
did.
What do you see?
Comes up with a white board, window with desktop, whiteboard, iPhone, universal such and such, eSword.
Yeah. Click on whatever it is that you want to share.
Okay.
You
And then it comes up and says open system preferences.
What?
Yeah, you got, I don't understand it. That's all right. Let me, I don't want to waste everybody's time here. The thing that hit me is when she sent this dream over, I think Claire and Rion must, when they write a date down, they write a date, they start with the day and then the month and then the year. And so when Claire had this dream, she put the date on it. It was 19/7/22. But when I write a date down, I always put the month, then the day, then the year for whatever reason. And so I kind of look at it, when somebody puts a date down, I look at it through that paradigm, so to speak. Well, she sent me this dream of my family member's birthday. And she sent it over 19, the date was 19/7/22. But the thing that hit me immediately was that my family member's birthday is 9/7/22. It was exactly the same date. That date that she sent over, it was the date of her birthday. And it was just like God was confirming what he was confirming is that he has this. He has control of this situation. And the thing that hit me, the place where that he set me free was that I was able, I think for the first time, at least the first time that I've really experienced the release of placing over into his hands my right to control the outcome of our conversation or of our whatever the Lord would have me share or do or say. I was trying to control the environment or control the outcome. And I was afraid that if I said something, it would create an adverse effect and cause destruction or whatever it would be. But the Lord showed me he has control. He's well able to handle the situation. And he doesn't need me to protect, overly protect, or overly try to outguess him or anything like that. He just needs me to obey his word and trust him and let the chips, let him take care of the situation. And he set me free inside for the fear of that potential failure, I guess you might say. And when I saw that and I thought about that, I thought about the example of Abraham and Isaac. And when, God gave Abraham the promised son of Isaac, and then, years later, 15 years later, whatever, then God told Abraham to take him up and sacrifice him, offer him up to God. And in that time, this was almost the same feeling that I had, is that Abraham was taking that promised son, that son represented the crux of his life of faith was with God. And he was being told by God to kill him, to put him to death. And he had to come to a place of faith and trust and leave the control or the consequences for that situation in God's hands. And when he did so, he rested in that faith, believing that God, if God commanded him to kill his son, he would simply have to raise him back up again in order to fulfill his promise. And he came to a place of rest and gave up the ownership or the responsibility of his son to God. And God brought the thing to pass, brought everything through the way it needed to happen. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm making the sense on this or whatever, but I'm kind of rattled right now because I've been busy all day here, but I just wanted to share because he's certainly set me free from a fear of that over controlling or having to be in control of the situation. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Hope I didn't.
That was good. And that you're free from worry is the best thing. That's what I had too. A few years ago, I just kept worrying, Lord, nothing looked like they're coming to Jesus, you know. Nothing looks like anything is happening in my family. And I pray, and Jesus finally told me, he said, you don't think I can do this? He says, I've given you household salvation. All you've got to do is believe it. And I said, okay, I quit. I'm worrying right now. Bless God, you got it. I'm putting them on the altar. I'm putting you on the altar. I'm putting this one on the altar. I'm putting this one on the altar. It's your problem now, Lord. I'm just believing you now.
And you kind of had to die to that, didn't you?
You did. You do.
And that's the part that's the struggle, isn't it? I mean, it's you literally have to give up control.
Yeah, because you've always done it all your life. They've depended on you to do everything.
Yep.
Everything. And then when you're out of the picture and you can't control what's going on because they're going to do what they're going to do, then you have to just step back and say, okay, Lord, it's yours now. I can't handle it now. It's out of my control. Give it to him. That's good,
and
Pat.
I trust you for it. Amen.
Yes, yes. And I trust that you're going to do it. And I'm going to see him in heaven. You know, I don't care if it's the day they die that they come to Jesus. I'd rather see them go in the easy way. I'd rather see that. But if it doesn't happen, as long as they get into heaven, and that's what I believe, that I'm going to see them all in heaven. So we don't care what happens, how they get there. Lord knows how he's going to get them there. That's not my problem anymore. That's his.
Amen. You know, one thing, and then I'll shut up, but one thing was.
Sure you will.
Being.
Go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry. I just had to say that.
I know you did. was the fear of saying something and it being rejected or being you know, disturbing and uprooting and you know, creating a disturbance, because I'm not that type of person. I took the passive road and whatever, no confrontation. But when it's not my word that's doing the disturbing, it's God's word that's mm-hmm. that's doing the disturbing, and you know, I can't help that, you know. And it's quite, I think, quite necessary, you know, goes back to the first point I was making, that, you know, some people don't have the opportunity to really consider worthy, you know, in-depth thoughts about, you know, things that really are meaningful unless there's a struggle or a threat or some sort of a shakeup there in the package, you know, so. Anyway, okay, I promise I'll shut up now.
Well, I promise I won't say anything. Okay, go ahead, Missy.
That's funny you share that, Pat, because I had something in, you know, going through my mind that I wanted to share. And it's similar. It's very similar. when Merle and I got married, there was something that needed to be done on a regular basis that he neglected to do on a regular basis. And so the Jezebel I was at the time, thank you, Lord, for delivering me, said, okay, I'm going to take that over and do that. And then, I'm trying to think. We got married in 2008, beginning of 2008. And I'm not quite sure when the Lord convicted me and said, here, it's yours to do, you know. And I don't recall if I actually apologized to him for taking it over or, you know, or saying that I would do it. I don't think I didn't put it in a way that I didn't give him a choice, but... I don't recall that I did it like that, but so anyway, here this has really become an issue, like in the past month or so. And I, you know, I might have said something to him like, did you do such and such, you know, and he said no. And then I might have asked him, you know, maybe a week ago or so, you know, just like in passing, you know, and it's like the Lord won't let me do it. And he's saying, don't say anything to him. Don't get on him about it. Don't say anything more to him about it. And this is huge. And you know what the Lord even told me, you know, because I was, you know, I was getting anxious about it, you know, I'm like, you know, and I was like, the Lord says, no, praise me and thank me. Because if he majorly fails on this and there's consequences to it, you know, that I'm going to use it, you know. So, but anyway, so I'm just like praising and thanking the Lord. You know, just like us and things that we've gone through in our life, we have to have major failures for the Lord to get our attention lots of time. And our family members are no different, you know, whether it's coming to the Lord or dealing with situations in their life or whatever. And I just praise and thank the Lord and you know, for this situation. I know he's going to use it. It's just like the Lord's just after we had that talk the other week about praising and thanking the Lord for everything, you know, talking about Merlin Carruthers, the Lord just is you know, reminds me of that, you know. So I'm just praising and thanking the Lord, and I can't wait to see how it turns out. So, and it, you know, I'm not his Holy Spirit, you know, it's not my job to correct him. It's not my job to remind him all the time or anything like that. You know, yeah, I'm his helpmate, but he sees it every day. So I don't need to say anything to him. You know, it's not like it's something out of sight, out of mind or whatever. So thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for freeing him from the the things that distract him and keep him from doing that. And I just want to pray one more thing. Father, I ask you, I believe that you've shown me that Merle has depression, and I've mentioned it to him a long time ago, quite a while back, at least a couple years ago. And he didn't seem to think that he did, but Lord, I think this has been an issue his whole life, and there's distractions and hindrances to him and things in his life, and he medicates himself and in a manner of speaking, and it's all part of being depressed and just having a hard time dealing with things in life or whatever, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for getting his attention and helping him to see, Lord, and bringing him out of this, Lord. And I know you can do it, Lord. I know there's nothing that I can say, but just to pray and believe you, Lord. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, that you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Carol, did you have something you wanted to share? I saw your hand up earlier. Or did you chicken out? Move out. Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
No, I want to pose a question first to the people. Did Jesus have brothers and sisters and a mom and a surrogate dad, Joseph? So I'm sure they made it to heaven. I'm sure salvation happened in his family. And, you know, I know that they were Jewish and they at least knew Moses and everything, but so do often families. And even not that, they have some sort of origin way back in the history somewhere anyway. And the Lord God can do anything. So I'm surprised that with Mary and his brothers and sisters that's never mentioned. Jesus had these brothers and sisters, and I'm sure they got all saved. I don't think he worried about it too much. Anyway, another thing that came to mind was it's a testimony that someone has in UVM that he was taking this really strong medication, and he was in a mental institution, and God brought two of the crazy guys in the mental institution to sanity, and they started showing scriptures to this guy that he has to be interested in. So God can do really much, pretty much anything to get a person back on track or on salvation's road, you know. So, and it was just like today I was going, well, where's Ben, you know? And he came up with this conversation, and just before I was supposed to speak, he texted me, oh, I forgot it was Thursday today, Dad. And I said, that's okay, Ben. But you brought me back to a sanity too, because I don't know, we're not the parent here. We have he has a new father as well as, you know, God can take care of, God takes care of his children, and he takes care of everything, you know, in us and through us. And that's all I have to say. You remember the title of the book too. And that's pretty neat. So, you know, when we talked about holiness the other day, the Holy Spirit has a lot to do with God's glory. And I believe that there are seven spirits, you know, and they emulate the glory of God that's supposed to be in our temple. And I was going to bring it up on Psalm 19, you know, the It mentions God's glory in there in the beginning, and how his light goes in a complete circuit from one end of heaven, one end of the universe, to the other end of the universe. I think our Almighty Father, who can do that and even create it, you know, out of nothing, out of complete darkness, he brought light. It shows his omnipresent spirit up all over the universe, which he spoke into existence. So it makes you feel really small, like a real small person when it comes to that. But he's your father. Just like Jesus said, I go to my father and your father and my God and your God. So we have to emulate that Jesus as best as God gives to us. 30, 60, 100-fold. And he's got it. I still keep this verse under here. You know, Ezekiel 36, 37. Thus saith the Lord God, for this, moreover, will I be inquired of by the house of Israel. And we are inquiring a lot of him. But it's to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. And it's just really interesting on how he's got it all already. And he can bring these two insane people to be suddenly come sane for a while, because he has to use them, because there was no one else there that he wanted to use except those two. I don't know if he picked them for some reason, or he just said, oh, we'll just pick those two. And then after what they were supposed to do, they went back to being loony again. And so God uses anyone he wants to use. But I think sometimes we confuse our desire to be used by him with his sovereignty. And there should not be an anxiety. Anyway, that's just my piece there. And you gotta have a word from the Lord. You know, because you can get spooked by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit spookiness, and that's a good thing to have, to fear the Lord. But it's in his hands. Everything. Praise God.
Amen. It is. It's in his hands, but we have to keep it in his hands by confessing the word, right? That's right. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Missy.
Ephesians 2:6 in his hands.
I just wanted to clarify something when I was sharing that earlier. I don't want my husband to fail in this, but don't get me wrong in that. But, you know, there's this realization that sometimes we do need to fail in things, but that's not what I want. You know, I'm praying that, you know, that he does do what he needs to do, but ultimately the Lord's in control, and I just praise him however it turns out. Thank you, Lord. Michael, you're muted if you're talking.
Oh, it was good too, Missy. I'm so sorry. Y'all missed that. Good gracious. Anyway, I wanted to read something out of the book that David wrote. It's called The Tongue Conquers the Curse. And it's out of the chapter 5, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He says, speaking is a manifestation of faith. Faith without works is dead, it's unfruitful, James 2 and 17. When we speak in agreement with the word, we bring the power of God into the situation. Otherwise, it's just dead religion. So since our words can bring blessings and curses, we must therefore come into agreement with God's precious word that we may receive the blessing. In other words, your confessions every day should be for your family, for the people around you, for the things that you have prayed to God about. When you confess them every day, it brings it into reality. That's what God's telling us. He wants us to confess daily who you are in Christ. You should be confessing every day. I have the mind of Christ. I have the body of Christ. All of those things, that the affirmations of our faith should be something we do every day to bring about the things that we want God to do. That we believe God's doing it. We already believe it. We just have to, we keep confessing it. Okay, Isaac. I mean, Carol. I think Carol was for you, Isaac. Go ahead, Carol.
If you want to go, Isaac, you can go. No, I'm just kidding. No more chickening out. Hi, everybody. So, as you know, I'm seeking the Lord, and I've asked for a time out, and God was so gracious to give me this time out from work, because I was really feeling like I was drifting, because it's busy, stressed, all of that stuff. And when I asked for the favor of the Lord, and you guys had prayed, and it all happened very fast, Tuesday night, we all met, and we had a wonderful time, and I went to bed, and I was really in a really good place. But what I've been asking God is I want to confront this anxiety. Generalized anxiety is what the doctor had said last year, finally. And I know God is healed me, but I'm trying to claim it now. And I need to confront some things. And he had given me the scripture at the beginning of the week, Mark 11. And I think I wrote it in the group to you guys. And there's a couple of steps there to believe and have faith in God. And the very, very ending of that passage, it talks about, but if you come to pray, make sure you have forgiveness in your heart. That's the preparation for what I'm about to say. So Tuesday night, I go to bed, and I don't even know why, but I kept waking up, and it really felt like very disturbed. And at one point, I remember waking up, and I'm not going to tell you what the story is yet, except for the way it happened. I've had my arm like this, and I saw a dark spirit on my arm when I woke up. And I just went, in Jesus' name, get away. And I went back to sleep, woke up and couldn't remember, but I felt like I was getting hounded throughout the whole night. So I woke up the next day, and I was really tired, and I couldn't do what you're talking about there, Michael, which is the daily confessions. I turned them on, and they were not making any sense. And I was agitated, and I was like, oh, should I write to the group? No, I'm not afraid, I can overcome this. And I wasn't even believing it, but I was claiming it. I wasn't believing it, wasn't feeling it, but I was claiming it. And my whole morning went that way. And at some point, I don't remember when it happened, but I just went, okay, I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to try to do some kind of action to step out in faith and be okay and just claim this, claim the word. Don't run to people, run to God, but I'm not really feeling him, but I'm going to stay with the promises. And somewhere along the line, I had a quiet moment where the Lord finally just said, you're the apple of my eye. And I don't know why, but that really hit me. And not, Lord, hold me, let me crawl into your heart, places that I needed to go before to be able to get to this place that's like I'm agitated, right? And I know he's doing a deep work, but the apple of the eye made me go like, just my breath, and I just stopped. And I was like, I don't even know what that means, but I knew it was really important. I just felt like I was crawling inside his eye and I was going to be really safe there. And then he said, that wrist. I said, yeah. He says, you remember when you broke it? I go, mm-hmm. And I went through a lot of suffering, severe broken wrist. It was shattered, the whole top of the hand. And I had, anyway, I don't want to dwell on that, but it was really horrific. And what happened is they didn't set it right. So I had to go back and the doctor had to re-break it basically to reset it. Okay. And I'm like, I don't think I want that. And so I said, okay, but I had a really nice doctor and I'm trusting him, trusting man, la, 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 trusting doctors, la, 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 which the Lord has delivered me of this. Thank you. But what happened is he said, oh no, we're not going to put you out. And that surprised me. And one of the things that I have difficulty is I'm trying to overcome victim status. Like, well, I'm an overcomer. I've overcome it. But the past comes up and the God is like just bringing healing so we can close doors and cauterize the wounds or whatever. And so I was bold enough to say, well, what are you going to do then? And he says, well, we're going to give you a medication where you won't feel the pain. And I'm like, I said, it can't be any kind of drugs that alters my mind because I don't do well with that. I knew that was extremely dangerous for me. No, it's a mild, it's mild. But the fear had entered me at that point. And it was, and at that point I accepted. My sister, they asked her to leave the room, but she told me after she saw it on my face, but I saw it on her face. We both like bounced fear off of each other. And then I'm out apparently. And I don't want to go into what happened. Okay. But it was terrifying, horrific. And, but the part is, in addition, my arm was being pummeled. It was going through, like, you know, those old washing machines where there's two rollers to pass the clothes through to drain it, to get the water out. So two rollers and my hand was going through that. And I was really getting tortured. And I thought I was never going to leave that torture. And suddenly I remembered to say, Jesus, help me. And lo and behold, as I came out, the doctors, they're all like, Carol, 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 because apparently I was really going crazy. And when I came out, I just looked at the doctor. I said, what is wrong with you? I told you that is bad for me. Shame on you. I was so angry and I was crying. And I knew, I saw that doctor walked away. He was so embarrassed. And I really felt like, so anyway, that's over. The Lord said, while I'm in the apple of his eye, he says, you know, that was really terrible what he did to you. And I was like, yes. And he goes, that wasn't okay. I go, no. And I was really little, like the little side of me was coming out. And he goes, can you forgive him? And I was like, yes, Lord. So basically I had, he was bringing, this is what he showed me. He showed me that this anxiousness that I have, generalized anxiety, that place doesn't know the Lord. I know the Lord, but that place or these places that he's bringing up now, because we're going to face them. I want to go knock them down with like David and Goliath, right? And so he showed me that those places, when he brings them up, my go-to is, got to get busy, got to do, or get ahead of the Lord or get behind the Lord, like not as in follow him, but like lag behind and turn on the TV or something. So he was showing me that that is what a lot of the people do in the world. So I had like, I went into major intercession for a lot of people today. I'm talking like freaking entire world. I think my heart was so filled with forgiveness and gratefulness that God, that I was able to forgive this doctor because he really took me through a torture chamber. That's exactly what happened in that place, right? But I forgave him. And then I started to pray for all of the patients that he did that to. And then I claimed him for Jesus. And I really felt like, whoa, this is beautiful what's happening. So I had to go in the apple of the eye. And when I go into this anxiety place, that place doesn't know how to trust the Lord. And I was able to, by climbing into the apple of his eye, it was, you know, he knows me, he knows you, right? We all are so different. And so I just came out going, wow. And then the end of the word was, which has something to do with what Pat was talking about, you know, letting go of the control, but letting go of control means that these places God is going to bring up to heal us so that we can. All I know is that day, the word that came to me at the very end after I went through this whole thing is labor, children of God, labor, not for the money, not for the job, not to get through this, which I did for the last 2 years, labor to enter into his rest. And I think that was what happened to me, is that the God, you know, brought me in after I was stopped flailing about, and then he helped me to forgive this person. And the word after all of that, after forgiveness, was labor to enter into my rest, because from that position of rest, wow, we're simply like, our bodies are, if we go for electricity, you know, the wire is what our bodies are, and the electricity that runs through it is the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. And, you know, my wire isn't good if I don't have him flowing through me. If it's the enemy, then I'm all staticky dangerous. But if it's the Lord, then the devil starts trembling. Anyway, so labor to enter into his rest, beloveds. Hallelujah. Another, you know, giant slinging moment with Jesus. It was amazing. So, ooh, all right, I shared. I bless you. I'm grateful. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for taking her through that so she can relate it to other people. Praise you, Father. All right, Isaac. Thank you, Carol.
Yep, thanks, Carol. Michael, you're talking about, you said it about basically speaking it out. I kind of lost it. I can't remember exactly how you said it, but, you know, speaking faith out in all things. Oh, because we're talking about household salvation and believing for it, and, you know, just other things, whatever your beliefs are. I just want to share a good word I read today. That's all I wanted to do. Proverbs 21, verse 28, and it says, "A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth shall speak so as to endure." That's really good word, because you can imagine a false witness would be the bad report. Granted, it doesn't matter if it's contrary to the word, because we know the word's truth. The world and its knowledge is, and what they say, whatever the situation is, if it's contrary to the word, then that's a false witness. But the man that heareth shall speak so as to endure. And when I was reading that, I said, well, that reminds me of something Paul said. And I looked it up, and that's Romans 3:4. And that's, it says, wait, "For what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? God forbid. Yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment." I don't know. I just thought those two words were really good, kind of what we were talking about. And that's it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. How's your work coming? Are you getting things squared away?
Speaking in faith.
Amen. All right, Nick, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I got another praise. My dad is supposed to get his dentures next Tuesday. His actual dentures next Tuesday. So.
All right. Amen. Yeah. He'll be able to eat corn again. Praise God.
Yeah. Yep.
Amen.
So he's happy with that.
Great news.
Thank you.
All right.
I don't like looking at him without teeth.
I expect he don't want you looking at him without teeth either. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Kara.
Sorry, I forgot, but I'm supposed to ask. I think it's Claire that might have this, but maybe it's the group. What does it mean? Because I kept trying to say something and my friend kept hearing something else, and I really feel like God is saying something about this. Gold in my ears. And it, maybe we don't have an answer now, but just there's just, and what I was saying to her is gold in my ear. And she's like, kept hearing gold in my ears. And I said, oh, there's got to be something to that. It was too strange. So I'm just putting it out. If you guys get something about what would gold in your ears mean, I guess maybe you're hearing more, or I don't know. So that's,
sounds to me like deeper revelations.
Ooh, gold that's in my ears.
What's that, Claire?
The first thing that came to me was a prosperity gospel.
Prosperity.
Yeah, and not in a good way, like as in,
oh, okay, no.
So that's just what came to me.
Yeah. Okay. No, but it was had to do with forgiveness. Yeah, I think we were talking about forgiveness, and that name kept coming to my head instead of Corrie Ten Boom. Gold in my ears. I'm like, what? That's not even what I'm saying. And it was so funny. Corrie Ten Boom, gold in my ears, gold in my ear. Go figure. Forgiveness.
First, I thought you were saying gold up my ear. Yeah. The lady that was the head of Israel for so many years ago. She's been dead a long time. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Geneva, go ahead.
So I noticed that on here, everybody seems to have a garden, and me and Morgan were inspired. So we planted ourselves squash and zucchini, and just to start out small. Anyways, so we're feeling good about it, and they're growing. And I will say I do not have a green thumb. Pretty much every plant I have dies, other than cactus. I can keep those ones alive. That's because they don't really require too much water. But like we're feeling good about them, and we check on them every day. But then my cat, this is kind of goofy, but my cat went and pooped on them. So anyways, I look, and on there it said, like I was looking online, it says that basically that can be really harmful, you know, and that whatever, there's like stuff and that cats, you know, when they digest is like not good for you. Anyway, so I rebuke all that because we've been working on them and we like eat squash and zucchini all the time. And I just want to, anyways, first of all, I did clean them, obviously, but I just want to pray and believe that that soil is fine and that they are great, that they are okay. And in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that my little plants are okay and that they're going to be completely fine when we eat them. And I'm believing by faith and Lord that they will be nutritious and that God, we just give you the glory that it is your weather and everything that you create that makes them grow, Father. And Lord, nothing can harm this little garden or anybody's garden on here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we bless that garden to produce more than they want, that they'll be able to give a lot away. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Father. That's going to be the best tasting stuff that ever come out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened, Pat. Amen. Glory to God. The Lord planted our first garden we had here. We had pumpkin, tomatoes. We never planted a plant. I was just amazing. Just amazing. Brussels sprouts is coming from the devil's armpit. I like Brussels sprouts. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to speak about? Yeah. Go ahead, Claire.
I have a little praise report.
Awesome.
I was blessed to teach two of my three children to read. The first one, you know, the first one's always your experiment. So she got to go to school for just a little bit and they dealt with it. And then she came home. But the other two, I can't take any glory for Tabitha's reading because she just, I don't know, the Lord just worked in her and she did it by herself and it wasn't a stress. But with my boy, being a boy, it was a bit out of my depth and I didn't really know how to do it. And also, you know, having two girls, they do things faster in the beginning. I know the guys catch up later in high school and they just cream the girls. But in the beginning, like it's a bit, yeah, just different learning styles and stuff. And I'll be honest, I was getting to a little bit of the end there. And I thought, oh, well, I don't know how. And it's not like he's 11 and can't read. And he's still like completely at the right age for learning and everything. This mommy probably just didn't have enough patience. But anyway, so after doing everything I humanly knew what to do, I prayed and I actually sent a sister a text. And I was like, you know, things are just going to go so much better when the little guy can read by himself. Not a word of a lie. The next day, Daniel goes out for a bike ride. Comes back. I don't even know. Like, I'm busy with the girls. Lies on his bed, comes to me, and about 45 minutes later, he goes, Mommy, I can read. I don't know how, but look, I can read. I just picked this book up. And not a word of a lie, not cat sat on the mat kind of book, like a book about Daniel in the lion's den with big words and things. And he just is reading. And it can't be anything except the Lord. And it's just so such a blessing, and I'm so grateful. And the only reason I want to teach my kids to read is because I want them to read the Word of God. I want, you know, that to sow into their hearts, and it doesn't ever return void. And the pressure's off me then. The Holy Spirit can be their teacher. So, yeah, it's just amazing. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And he is just so stoked, you know, like just so happy. And it's just been awesome. This week has been great. So. Thank you for praying, and thank you for believing with me.
Amen. That's awesome. That is so awesome. Thank you, Lord. You remember David's testimony about him and his wife praying about their children playing an instrument. And next thing you knew, his youngest daughter and his youngest son began to play the piano. And they were amazed, you know, and they listened to him. And the boy, Justin, he said, Daddy said, I can, whatever I listen to, I can play. Isn't this cool? He said, well, of course it is. And he's still playing, you know, that's awesome. That's so awesome. So, start praying, Claire. Get your band going here. Get your orchestra going.
Amen. The Lord has blessed my children because I can't play an instrument. And, you know, I always keep Philippians 4 verse 8 in mind when I'm doing things with the children. And I just feel like if they're going to do anything, it has to be the things that are good, true, and beautiful and noble. And if they're going to do anything, it has to be for the Lord. I don't say that out of anything other than I just want to know that I've got a clean heart when it comes to my kids. I also know that nothing I do saves them. But the way they pick up instruments, for somebody who I never even touched a piano, is just such a blessing. And we're at the point now in our family worship where our kids are playing the instruments and Rian and I are singing along. Rian is a bit musical, I will say that. There's not a lot that the guy can't do. The Lord has blessed him with a fair level of competency in a fair many fields, where I'm a bit of a one-trick pony, but I don't mind. I'm gladly a one-trick pony for the Lord. And so it's just been such a blessing that we can have this fellowship, you know, from going on YouTube when our kids were very little and just singing, you know, salty songs together and then progressing to other songs. And now we can actually play some of these hymns that we're learning about. And when we have the next fellowship at our house with some believers, we can actually sing with our, you know, with our friends and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's just great what the Lord will do if you will only let him. It's really such a blessing. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt anything.
No, that was good. That's awesome. Yeah, the Lord can do it, man. I tell you, he can just put it in their heart. Praise God. All right, anyone else? All right, has anybody got another subject they'd like to speak about? What happened to Joseph? I'll just throw that out there. What happened to Mary's husband, Joseph, Jesus's stepfather? One at a time. Don't be. It's interesting. David and I have talked about it a little bit. And let's see what y'all are chatting about. Oh. Anyway, David and I talked about it. And he said, you know, I believe that Joseph taught Jesus most of the things that he knew at an early age, bringing him up. Now, we don't know whenever Joseph left the scene at all. But I just wanted to see if y'all know anything. David seemed to think that, and I believe it too, that Joseph was instrumental in teaching Jesus the law and teaching him the word and teaching him the word about himself that's in the Old Testament. So I don't know. I just throw that out there. Anybody else got anything they'd like to add to it? Okay, we'll go on to the next subject. Go ahead, Greg.
He would have had to teach his sons the Torah from memory. They didn't have any books. They would have learned it from their father's memory. He must have done a pretty good job because, you know, Jesus aspired to the, he rose to the level of, he was called rabbi. As a matter of fact, he was a rabbi with smicha, which meant two others endorsed him, one being John the Baptist, one being God himself.
Well, if you remember, at 12 years old, he was astounding the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the temple with his knowledge as a 12-year-old boy. So Joseph had a pretty instrumental, it looks like, pretty instrumental job in his life. And I believe, of course, the father did too, because you know that Jesus was a praying man. He prayed all the time. And I'm sure Joseph taught him that. If you remember, Joseph, when the Lord was born, he had seven dreams right there, right at the beginning. And he knew that those dreams were for him to do what he had to do to keep that boy safe. So I thought it was pretty amazing that there wasn't more in the Gospels about Joseph, but that's the Lord. It wasn't important to him, I guess. We just have those certain instances in the Lord's life. Yeah, Ann Rutter.
We actually had a bit of a conversation the other day with Andre about that, like more about Jesus, because he was created, or I don't know, he was begotten specifically to be the Lamb of God without blemish. And so we were wondering, when he was little, you know, did he ever get up to mischief or some rebelliousness, or because he was without sin? You know, like, and the only times you see his parents upset with him was at the temple when he got lost. That's, you know, documented.
Yeah.
But I thought he must have been absolutely an amazing son to raise. He probably was like good carpenter and got his measurements just right and listened to absolutely everything he was told, because he was without sin.
And I attest that to Joseph's teaching abilities and Mary's, you know, upbringing this young man or this young boy up as they did. They told him, I'm sure that he knew right away when he was old enough to understand who he was. And I'm sure Joseph groomed him as such. It seems as though, anyway. Because he knew who he was. And as far as the sin goes, when he found out he wasn't supposed to do something, I'm sure he quit doing whatever it is, if he was doing anything bad. Remember, sin is not accounted to you until you know it. Till you know it's a sin. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, I have a question regarding that. Didn't Jesus have to overcome the sin nature that he inherited through the blood of Mary?
Absolutely. And that's what I was talking about. As soon as he found out something that he might have been doing that was wrong,
yeah.
You know, that was it. He found out it was wrong, so he gets, okay, I got to stop that. Yeah. Just like us. I'm just saying, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I'm imagining anyway.
I don't know. I that was something that I still don't, I'm not 100% about, you know, that whole thing. You know, there's just things I have questions about. But I remember like somebody had posed a question in the church I was in once when we were talking. It was in a women's fellowship, but and the question was, who do you want to talk to and meet, you know, in heaven and you know, from out of the Bible, you know, what would you ask that person or whatever? And I always thought, yeah, I would like to talk to Joseph, you know, the father, you know, of you know, Mary's husband, and because there's so little written about him, we don't really know a whole lot about him, other than what's written, you know. I just believe there's going to be so many questions answered once we get done with our work here and we get home and have a lot of these questions put to rest about all that stuff that are, or maybe even before then, you know, God can show us, he can do it if he wants.
Yeah. Wasn't the last account of Joseph was when Jesus was 12 and they sought him out?
Yeah, but wasn't there something? Yeah, but wasn't there something like, when Jesus went back to his hometown, what, you know, that, you know, he couldn't do mighty works there? But the question is like, well, isn't this? They named Joseph his father. You know, isn't this the carpenter's son? So they knew who, you know, they knew his father, they knew his mother, mm-hmm. they knew his Jesus' sisters and his brothers and. They, you know, by name, they said these things. So
We'll see. Pat's got the answer.
Yeah, there's just a lot not written there for the very reason that we're supposed to keep our eyes on the Father and not take away from, you know, try to put Joseph this and Joseph that. It's like, no, our Father. Jesus taught us to pray to our Father, not, yeah, there's just a lot of things I don't. Yeah. I've got questions about the whole thing.
Okay, Pat. Pat, go ahead.
So I thought about that very thing a while back, and I came to the conclusion that Jesus did receive the sin nature through the bloodline of Mary, but the way I kind of understood it is that this the same concept as that I was talking about last week or maybe Tuesday or something about there's two forms of sin. One or sin is in two forms basically spoken in the Bible, and that's the one of sin or actions which require forgiveness, and the other is the sin nature, which if tempted spawns sins that need to be forgiven. But the sin nature in and of itself hasn't done anything to be forgiven. And so the only solution, or the solution that God has provided for that, is not forgiveness, but crucifixion. And that is the very sin nature that Jesus carried all through his life, and yet overcame it and never succumbed to the temptation to commit sins, but that nature still being there and him having to overcome it, and not only overcame it, but took it all the way to the cross and nailed it there, or was crucified and nailed it to the cross. Thus fulfilling what John the Baptist said, thus the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And so that's how I put that package together in my own mind, as far as, you know, Jesus, did he have sin? He was carrying the sin nature like under his arm or in there. He took it with him and took it all the way to the cross, and Father nailed it to the cross there. But he never actually submitted to the temptation and committed sins because of it, and thereby overcame. Anyway, I throw that out for thought.
Amen. We come against this rash on the baby's arms in Jesus' name. We command it to go from him now in the name of Jesus. And we cast down any kind of witchcraft curses spoken against him right now in Jesus' name, and command you to cease your activity against him. Yes, we do. We forbid any infirmity in his body in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your purifying blood that goes through him right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that little David is healed. Y'all believe that? Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Yes, he is. Okay. I believe that Jesus was an overcomer. He was a complete overcomer. And he is our standard that we look at. Remember when he went into the wilderness? He quoted the scripture to the devil. That's our standard. That's what we need to do. That's the most powerful way you could do it, is to quote scripture to it. And I believe the Lord showed him, or his dad showed him, or his stepdad, or whoever. But he knew it. He knew what to do when he got out there. And that's the reason that we have him as our Savior today. And he's sitting at the, God was so pleased with him, he put him at the right, at his right hand when he did what he asked him to do. And that's to deny sin unto death. That's what we're going to have to do. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got a question about anything? I'm sure somebody will have an answer. That's going to be an interesting 15 minutes. Go ahead, Pat.
I wanted to thank you for encouraging us to pick, select someone in the group and start praying for them. And I have been selecting a scripture every day. The Lord's given me a scripture every day. As I, you know, random open my Bible and select a scripture. And some of the times I can see what I'm praying for, and other times I don't. But it's been such a blessing. Just take that scripture and pray for that person related to that scripture. And so I have enjoyed that so much that I've decided, you know, I started picking other people as well, and asking for scripture for them as well. And the Lord has been leading me through the process, because I'm now taking these scriptures and thinking about them and seeing how they're applying to, you know, things that are happening in my life as well. So I don't know, I can't explain it, but, you know, the Lord has it definitely stirred things up in that way. And so I just appreciate you recommending that. As a side note, I would encourage you that if you can want to participate, you know, in the Signal chat process that is in existence, that Michael created, that is such a benefit. Where, I mean, sometimes you can jump into and pray with somebody on that thing, or, you know, sometimes you're so busy you can't track with it, you're just moving through. But it's such, I think that thing is going to open up and be a very instrumental tool that we can use, because it's so wonderful that we have the ability, you know, if I need prayer, I can get online, you know, and there's always somebody out there that's listening and that can pray for me or enter into the situation. So it's a very good tool, I think, that the Lord is using. And I would encourage you that if you want to get involved in a little more, you know, take advantage of that if you could. So anyway, that's a little side advertisement, you know.
Now there'll be millions on there.
Michael, you forgot to tell them it's only for tithers.
Yes, it is. It is. Thank you, Claire. Joe, would you get the buckets out, bud? And that's, would you be our deacon tonight? Pass the bucket for us. Amen. Thank you, Claire. I hadn't thought about that. That was a good one. Go ahead, Carol.
I'm going to say, give me some more loving. I like that one. Well, let's fill that 10, 15 minutes or whatever's left. And I almost forgot this, but I have a praise report about the boldness of, you know, when God says to say something to someone. So a few weeks ago, my older sister, who is definitely struggling with many things, but a few years ago, the Lord had led me to chat with her. And that night that we did that, he just told me exactly what to say to her, and she got saved, and she was thinking of suicide. So it was an amazing night. And then he brings her back in my life periodically. I can't see her all the time because she's very difficult and, you know, going through big struggles. Anyway, he brought her back into my life, and she was she's always needing money, and she just got into a new place, and the job that she was supposed to have didn't come through. And so one of the things we've had to do is say no to give her money because she has difficulty with money. There's gambling involved. So specifically, she was telling me that, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to pay my rent? And of course, I have to resist. Like my heart wants to give her the money, and the Lord is saying, don't touch that. So I just kept listening to him, and we were talking, and I just kept saying, Jesus has got you. And then I felt him say, just tell her this. And this is what I said to my sister. Okay. I said, we're going to pray right now that your landlord doesn't even ask for the money until you have it to give to him. And when I was saying that, I was saying, oh boy, this better be you, Jesus, because, you know, this is important. She's got to really believe this, right? And this has to really happen because she's going to drift and go gamble it away or something. So lo and behold, she called me 4 nights ago to tell me that her landlord calls. And we're talking, what are we now? The 19, 21, 22. So she hasn't paid July yet. And he's calling her, and she says, Carol, you wouldn't believe what just happened. And I go, oh, I hope this is a good high tone. I wasn't quite sure. And I said, your landlord? She goes, yes, he called me. He didn't even ask for the money. He wanted to tell me that I have my locker and it's available to put my stuff in, to move in my extra stuff. I'm going, oh, wonderful. And she said, but then she felt compelled to say, listen, then she explained her situation of the job and that she just started a new job, but it's like minimum wage, and she doesn't know how many pays it's going to take to pay for the rent. And he said to her, don't even worry about that. He says, you just pay when you can. She says, but it might be 2-3 pays. No problem. He says, I don't need the money. And so I was like, I hope you said thank you to Jesus. She says, oh, you bet. I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So that's a testimony for that. You know, oh, I'm going to say gold in our ears, deeper revelation, so we can actually speak what the Lord says in our ears, not prosperity, prosperity in our relationship with the Lord. Amen.
That's awesome. Thank you, Father. That showed her something about the Lord and praying, didn't it? Thank you, Lord. Declaring. I always think about that time that David had that washing machine fixed and he didn't have the money to pay for it. And they called him, told him to fix it or bring it over there. Y'all remember that? They pointed out there at that post box. They said, I had $50 in that mailbox right now. Walked out there and there was $50 in it. To pay for the washing machine. That's what it costs, $50. He can do that. We can do that. I've done it myself, you know, lots of time, declaring what the Lord has given us, and that's the promise. If you declare it and believe it, it's going to happen. All right. Anyone else? I believe in a sovereign God. Does anybody else believe in a sovereign God? That he knows what we want before we need it. Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Isaac.
Well, I'll take you up on that offer as far as declaring things if y'all agree with me.
All right.
Yeah. We've been at this house here for a while down in Florida. It seems like a year almost. And I'm ready to get back to my house in Cincinnati or in Bethel is where it's at. But I've only been there probably this year, like 7 days. I hadn't been there. And yeah, you're right. We have. I apologize. Anyways, so the thing is we're about done with it. And I really want to, man, I like it down here a whole bunch. It's nice. But the Lord has given me a dream. He's given Geneva a dream, totally different, even different times. I won't go into it, but it was almost literally the same exact thing. And so we have to sell it. But my belief is this. I want to get out of debt. And, you know, I've told you all this back some time ago. I want to get out of the world because I feel like work and all that, it's too much and it's not important. It's not what I do doesn't need to be all encompassing, right? And I want to put more time in the Lord. And so I want to believe this place sells and I can just pay my house off and be just debt free. I mean, that's bold, but that ain't too hard, right? I don't think. If y'all just agree with me, we've really done everything we possibly can in this place. But even with what we've done, it'd take a miracle to do that. But hey, man, he that's what he does. You know what I mean? He's in the miracle business. So would y'all agree with me on that? I'd like to get the family back home. Yeah, I'll say a prayer, and y'all can agree. If anybody's got a prayer too, feel free. Lord, thank you, Father. One, thank you, Lord, that you're our Father. That's amazing. And Lord, thank you for our brothers and sisters, Lord. And thank you, Father, for the blessing, Lord, here. And thank you, Lord, that this house will sell. And it will sell quick. And Lord, it will get us out of debt, Father, so we can focus on you. And Lord, to scale down and not try to seize more of the world. We don't need that. Lord, I thank you for your provision in our lives. And we say it's done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for giving them, getting them over and above anything they could imagine they could get for that house. And I praise you, Father, that it's not only going to get him out of debt, it's going to give him some to give out if he needed to. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that for Isaac, Mariana? Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for getting them out of debt. It's done, brother. It is done. Amen. Might as well start packing. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Andrew.
On an offshoot, like today, Ben was supposed to come over, but he forgot. But I told him that I was going to go buy some cold cuts, some turkey cold cuts at the grocery store. This is a praise report. And when I got to the grocery store, I noticed that my turkey cold cuts were already all sliced. And there was just those, the Cajun ones too. They were the good turkey slices. And I said, what's that there? And, we sliced too much. And so she put it on there and I said, okay, give me quite a bit of slices there, you know, 12 slices. And she put the 12 slices in the bag and then she put the price on it. And then she went and got a 50% off sticker and put it on there.
Praise God.
That's good, you know, and I got all these nice, and I bought some nice buns and everything, so nothing like when it's hot out and humid, it's you don't want to cook anything. So just having cold cut sandwiches and some potato salad that they pre-mix in the store is really nice to have. Got to change it up. Put that watermelon in the fridge.
Amen. Gotta have that watermelon. This was leftover day for me. I just threw everything that we had in the refrigerator that was leftovers. I threw it in a pot, put some hot tacos, package of hot taco mix in there, a couple of other items. And David and Brandy just liked to have a fit, man. They just went crazy over it. So, yeah, it's nice, not hard to satisfy David and Brandy. They're like me. Their best dish is food. Amen. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for an awesome night tonight. Just fellowshipping, Lord, just talking the things of you, Lord. And that's why I love it when we do that. And I praise you, Father, for getting us all ready. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers about all these witchcraft curses coming against us that have come against us, that they're not anymore, because we pray. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I lift up Jeanette to you. I thank you, Lord, that tomorrow when they go in there to scrape off her bladder of this mass that's on there, that it's not going to turn out to be anything. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I command that anxiety off of her. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody else before we leave? We got about a minute left. Ann Rutter, go ahead.
It's a praise report for me. I feel like Andre's been missing out on church, like constantly, and today trained so hard they were sent home, so he was able to sit in today. So praise God for that. I'm really pleased about that. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that outreach chat, it can, I just hear a thing going ding, ding, ding all the time. Somebody in there getting prayed for or chatting. On the outreach. It's pretty neat. All right. Y'all be blessed. You hear? Good night, y'all.
Good night. God bless
you. See ya. Bless everybody.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody.
Who was that? You, Carol,
y'all. Yes, it was. I love the good night, y'all.
That's pretty southern of you.
She sounded a little more southern than me, didn't she, Pat?
She did. I sure did.
I'm getting some practice.
Coming South Mississippi. That's where she comes from.
I'll be coming to Tennessee, brother. I'll be coming there. See y'all.
Well, just bring your little old cell phone down, girl.
That's what I'm going to do. And my little old dog.
Yeah, little old dog. She's been listening to somebody, hasn't she? Oh, boy.